Imadagai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Today, Tony talks about the time he went back to prison, not as a prisoner, but as a preacher.
Back in the 90s, I ran for Parliament in the 99 election. I ran for the Liberal Party of New South Wales. In fact, I was the very first Aboriginal priest elected to win priest election for the upper house in New South Wales. And during that time of campaigning, I did a lot of ministry. God opened lots of doors for me to preach all over the place. And a lot of it was in Sydney. And I did a lot of series for the Christian Men's Businessmen. And they opened a lot of doors for me. And I had to do a photo shoot for a newspaper article outside Long Bay Prison. And they wanted a photo of me standing near a tower with a guard standing in the background with a gun, just for publicity's sake and for this news article for the Sydney Morning Herald. And when we went out there to do the shoot, and they wrote an article in the paper called From Prison to Parliament, and that was the headline, and they had a photo of me standing at the Long Bay Jail with a tower behind me and a prison guard standing there with a rifle in his hand. The guy that was organising the Christian Businessman Ministry, they actually were going into Long Bay Prison once a month, and they asked me would I like to go and preach to the inmates. I was a bit hesitant at first after being in prison for so long of my life, for 10 years, to think about going back into prison and preaching the gospel. And it's hard enough to preach in a church or to preach in an open air atmosphere, you know, but to go back into prison and preach was a new ball game. And I remember saying to God that all things are possible in you, so if you want me to do this, then I'll go and do it. So when we went into the prison, we took about 30 pizzas because we had no idea how many inmates were going to come up. And I know that if you're going to put on free pizza in a prison, you're going to get a fair few turn up, because the food was always shocking in prison. And, you know, I couldn't imagine it changing that much. But it was a minimum security part of the prison. And even though it was minimum security, I'll never forget the clang of steel and the bang as they opened them prison doors. You know, it just sort of went through you, you know, like a mother-in-law's kiss. It was just the coldness of it. And so when you went in there, I was surprised. I knew a lot of the guys when I was in there, some were never to be released, or, you know, they got life sentences. And back in them days, life meant at least 20 years or 25 years. And I was surprised that 15 of the men that turned up to hear me preach out of about 40 people were people that I was actually in prison with. And they was getting towards the end of their sentence because they was in the minimum security part. And when I got in there, there was about 5 guards assigned to look after 40 prisoners in the recreation room where we was going to do the preaching. And I remember going up to the prison guards and I said, would you like to come and join us for tea? And they said, oh, no, we don't eat with the prisoners. I said, well, look, it's pizza. We got orange juice, we got, you know, pineapple juice, we got all the good stuff. Anyway, so the guards came in and they said, but the prisoners might object. I said, they'll be fine. And so they all sat around, we had a meal. And then I started to preach, and I started sharing my testimony, not about how I went to prison, but I started sharing my testimony how good's God been to me since I've been out of prison. And, you know, that meant more to those prisoners who I was in prison with, because, you know, they knew me first when I was in prison when I wasn't a Christian, but they also knew me in the 5 years that I was a Christian before I got released. And for them, for me to go back in there nearly 20 years later and preach to them, for them to see that God was still working in my life, that I was, you know, not falling back into the old ways of crime and not doing the things that I was doing. But it was a witness to these people, especially these prisoners. And you know why I say that is too, because a lot of prison guards, In fact, 49 prison guards got saved during my time preaching in prison. But I remember that I preached at Glen Innes once, and three prison guards came along that night and they got saved. You know, prison guards are no different to prisoners in the sense that they're both in prison, but one's there to look after them and to keep, you know, keep them locked up, and the others are there because they're being punished. But they still have a need. It doesn't matter whether you're a prisoner or whether you're a prison guard or whether you're a policeman or whether you're a judge or a probation officer. We all need God. We all need Jesus Christ in our lives. And to be able to be an evangelist and able to speak to as many different people that I do, I've spoken to judges, I've spoken to lawyers, I've spoken to hospital staff, I've preached to missions, I've preached to the poor, the down and out, and I've preached in churches where people were pretty well off. But God has given me lots of opportunities to minister to people. And I've encountered it a privilege when I went back into the prison to preach. But many times during that time that I preached in Sydney, in the lead up to the election, I remember preaching at a church in Bankstown and along the old notorious Canterbury Road where prostitutes used to frequent. And I remember this particular church was right on Canterbury Road. And when I was going into the church, we seen the prostitutes on the side of the road and soliciting their trade. But you know what? When I finished preaching that night, three prostitutes who was outside the church earlier came into the church and got saved. It doesn't matter who you are. You need God in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, whether you're a chemist, or whether you're a radio announcer, or you work in television, or you're just a builder or a bricky's labourer. We all need a chance to go to know God. And the problem with this modern age is that nobody thinks about God. Nobody thinks about God until there's a tragedy in their life, and then they start thinking about God. But it soon disappears, because if you don't invite God into your life, or you're not going to a church, or you're not in putting yourself in a position where you're going to hear some good preaching, you're just going to continue in the ways of the world. And unfortunately today that there's so many people in the church. They got one foot in the church and a foot and an arm and a leg in the world. And they just keep going back and back and back. They don't seem to go forward. They're like a crack record. They're just caught in the same old, same old, the same old. You know, you can minister to them. You can share with them. But they always go back to what they feel comfortable with. It's a bit like being in a relationship where you leave the person because they've been violent to you, they've been abusive. You might leave the relationship, but you keep going back. You know, the statistics tell us that if you've been in an abusive relationship, you'll leave at least 7 times before you don't go back. People think because I'm a Christian that I have to put up with this abuse. And sometimes their partners or their husbands or their children even are violent towards them and they don't know how to deal with it. But keeping quiet and putting up with it is not the answer. You need to tell someone about it. You also need to talk to your pastor about it. You also need to talk to somebody. And sometimes you have to report it to the police. Because when you report it to the police, then notice is served on the person doing the abusing. And you know what? It's not always the man bashing the woman or abusing the woman. I know a person that I grew up with. His current partner, she's ran over him twice with a car. She's stabbed him at least 3 times. He leaves her as soon as she does these things, and she's always sorry when she doesn't. And you know what? He leaves this woman. He goes and lives with his father, goes and lives with his uncle. They try to talk to him, but the moment he has a drink, he's straight back there. And the abuse continues. And if he doesn't tell somebody, if he doesn't tell somebody about the abuse, there's no record of it. You see, another friend of mine recently, she put up with abuse for 20 years and never told anybody, like the authorities. Family members knew, friends knew, but the authorities never knew. And what happened was her partner got violent while on drugs and alcohol mixed together. And when she was asleep, he took to her with a baseball bat. And, you know, she ran away from him. He chased her to the kitchen. And in her defense in the dark, she reached out and grabbed something and lashed out with it. But what she didn't realize it was a knife, and she stabbed him through the heart. And the fact is, when she started saying it was self-defense, there was no evidence. There was no evidence from the doctors or anybody else that she'd been abused for 20 years. And you know what? She spent at least 2 years in prison on remand. And it wasn't until the judge said things didn't add up and they looked into it further. And this person had been abusing her for 20 years. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right whether it's a man or a woman. If you're bashing somebody or hurting somebody, then you need to stop. And if you can't stop by yourself, then you need to get help. You need to talk to a counselor. You need to talk to someone in your church. But you need to talk to somebody. Living with it doesn't make it go away. You need to trust God and ask God, pray about it. Ask God to come in and help. But I know that I'm dealing with people all the time as a pastor, as an evangelist. I'm always ministering to people. And how many times it comes up that people are in abusive and violent relationship. And because one's a Christian and the other one isn't, they think there's no way out. But there is a way out, because life is all about choices. You need to make the right choice today whether you're going to honour God. If you're a violent person and you're going to church, and if you got anger problems when you're going to church, and if you're taking out on your family when you're at home, you know, God sees you when you're at home. God sees you when you hit your spouse. God sees you when you're hitting the kids. You know, just because you go to church and pretend it doesn't happen doesn't make it right. And we need to deal with these things. We need to put our life in perspective. We can't say that we love God and serve God and belt the heebie-jeebies out of our children or belt the heebie-jeebies out of our partner. And that doesn't mean whether you're a male or a female, you can be abusive towards your partner. You know, it's very hypocritical when they go to church and they tell everybody they love them, praise God, and you know, they're all put on a different, they put on a church face. But they're not the same when they go home, when they get behind closed doors. And we really need to, as a church, start to address these issues. Because the Bible says that in these last days, many are going to be deceived and many are going to fall away from the church. We need to press into God. We need more and more of God each day. And this is what I believe God wants me to share today, getting right with God.
Father, would you send your spirit to move through your church once again? Visit your people in power with healing in your hand. For deep is our hunger for you. Oh, how we yearn to be new. Loose, Lord, your spirit to come and renew. Deep is our hunger for you. Father, would you send your spirit? Rest on your children's hands. Descend once again on your chosen. Oh, how we need to be fed. Deep is our hunger for you. Oh, how we yearn to be new. Loose, Lord, your spirit to come and renew. deep is our hunger for
you. Deep is our hunger for you.
Oh, how we yearn to be new. Loose, Lord, your spirit to come and renew. Deep is our hunger.
Deep for is our hunger for you.
Is our hunger for you.
Oh, how we yearn to be new.
Loose, Lord, your spirit to come and
we need to be King's Kids all the time. When people see us down the street, that's what they see is what they get. Not somebody else pretending to be something else when they're out in public. You know, you need to build a relationship with God. I had a woman only this week say to me, Tony, she said, I hear you talking about hearing the voice of God. She said, tell me, how do you hear the voice of God? And I said, firstly, you need to build a relationship with God. You need to talk to God. Like when you get married or when you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, when you're getting to know them, you talk to them. You know, you're on your best behavior. But when you're talking to God, you need to build that relationship. And if you're talking to God regularly in time in prayer, you know, you take 2 minutes a day and talk to God in prayer. And then the more you do it, the more you want to do it. And then when you're doing it, when you be still, then God will speak to your heart. God will speak to you, and you'll know. The Bible says that the sheep knows the master, the shepherd's voice. And you know, as Christians, we know the master's voice when he talks to us. And you need to be able to trust that you're hearing from God. Because when you hear from God, he will give you words. And if it doesn't hold up with his word, the Bible, then you haven't heard from God. But if he says you something and you write it down and it matches what he says in the word, then you've heard from God. Also be careful that you're not deceived by the devil, because he can come as an angel of light. He's nothing but a deceiver and a liar. And you know what I want to tell people is that, you know, when you become a Christian, you're covered by the blood of Jesus, because he took your sins to the cross with him. That blood, there's power in that blood, and there's power in the name of Jesus. I said to a woman recently, I said, if you're being belted and bashed, when you're being in that situation, just say, in the name of Jesus, stop. Don't hit me anymore. In the name of Jesus, stop. I remember hearing an evangelist tell a story once before. Was this woman was in a home and she was having a shower and a rapist broke into her home. And when she was in the shower and she was naked and she was shampooing her hair, and when she turned around, this man was naked trying to get in the shower with her. And she couldn't scream out. She didn't know what to do. But she just knew she had to trust God, and she said, in the name of Jesus, get out. And you know what? When she said that, he stopped trying to get into the shower and rape her. Then she said, in the name of Jesus, get out. She backed him out of the shower, out of the bathroom, and out of the house. And all she used was the name of Jesus, said, get out in the name of Jesus. And you know, that name is the name above all names. The Bible tells me, Tony, that Jesus' name is the above of all names. And one day the Bible says, every knee shall bow at the sound of his name. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't have to wait for that day at the end. We can do it right now. We can use the name of Jesus because there's power in that name.
There is mercy in the name of Jesus.
Covenant 31 with Power in the Name, and we also heard from Michael James with Deep is Our Hunger. There is power in the name of Jesus. Tony, under what circumstances should we use the name of Jesus?
Well, Heidi, it's important that we think about it. When we're in trouble, we can use the name of Jesus. But I often find that before we get in the trouble, when we spend our daily devotion, our time with God, that we need to be able to cover ourselves with prayer and use the name of Jesus in that prayer time to keep us safe throughout the day.
That's great, Tony. Thanks for that. That's very wise words. Next week, we'll be looking at this a little bit more when Tony talks about understanding our authority in Jesus Christ. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, or you can give Tony a call on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. See you next week.